Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I am very pleased that we can be together. I almost was not able to come because I was with Dr. Andreasen in India celebrating the 100 years of how God was leading Adventist University there, Spicer Adventist University. And we started our journey back on Sunday evening. To Newark, it was still okay. We came only with 2 hours late. But then tomorrow morning, all flights were canceled. Then there were like 1 or 2 flights who were able to go to Chicago yesterday. And we were on standby on one of them, and we were able to go to the plane. And then we started, and we were already on the runway. And then was the mechanical problem. So we returned. We were waiting. So you did the plane again. We were on the runway. Again, the same problem. Coming back. And it was like 3 times. So finally, we were able in the morning, this morning, come back to Chicago. And then around 4 o'clock in the morning to Berrien Springs. So instead of being here yesterday morning, so we came this morning. So I am glad that we can be together and celebrating our God, who is so good to us, who is enabling us to teach, to write, to be together. So we want to celebrate God and praise Him for all these abilities. And I am glad that we can be here in peace, because you know that last week it was celebrated as 70 years of liberation of Auschwitz. If you were in Auschwitz, you could be a great scholar, but you would have no possibilities to teach or to write. And we have here freedom. We have all these opportunities, and we need to use it to God's glory. So I am glad that we can be here and really recognize in that assembly today the scholarship, the good, godly scholarship. It's an 11th annual seminary scholarship symposium this week, and each year we are celebrating how God is enabling us to teach and to perform and to write. So I am glad that we can be here and celebrating scholarship. I know that many people are saying, well, Bible scholars and theologians only complicate things. Did you hear that? I hear that statement even from the top leadership in the church, our church. But I am glad that we have people who are complicating things. And, if you would have in the New Testament, you would have not, you know, 13 epistles of Paul. He complicates things, right? At least according to many theologians and many people. But how poor, incomplete would be New Testament without epistles of Paul. But I'm also glad that we have in the New Testament like epistle of James, for example, who is very practical. Not that Paul is not practical. He has very practical things to say, but also he speaks about theology. And this practical James is not only speaking practical things, but also theological things. And we need both. You know, when, it's true, we can have bad scholarship. But on the other side, if you have bad scholarship, on the other side is not something like no scholarship. On other side must be a good, godly, faithful scholarship. Amen? And this is why we are here, in order to do this scholarship from the right perspective. And I am pleased that we can recognize how God is enabling us. Let me remind you also from the biblical perspective, from the Gospel according to Matthew, that we usually know about this bad scholarship in the time of Jesus. Because he said when he was addressing scribes and scribes of the time, they were the teachers of the law, right? There was this expert, there was this doctors of ministry, doctors of philosophy, doctors of theology. There were the people of the time, scribes, grammateos. And we know usually the statement of Jesus when he's rebuking them. Like this, woe to you, scribes, teacher of the law, the Pharisees, hypocrites. But let me also remind you, and this is my text I want that we have in our mind today. It's in the same gospel, when you have the seven woes against all the scribes. But in the same gospel, in chapter 13, when Jesus is speaking about parables at the end, he has the following statement. And I will read from the today's New International Version. Jesus said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law, and that is scribes here, this grammateus, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. You see, Jesus is speaking about good scholarship, great teachers of the law. I like another translation, like ESV, when it is stated, therefore every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of the house, bringing new and old things. I like this word, trained. We need to be trained in order to do things right. And another version says, therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of the house, bringing old and new. Yes, we need to be trained. We need to be disciples of Jesus in order to do scholarship well. And I want to praise God for this good scholarship, for this faithful scholarship. And we want to recognize it. But never forget this beautiful statement of Jesus, that the true scribes, the true doctors of ministry or theology or philosophy, they are those who are trained, they are disciples, and they are bringing old and new. Yes, we need to repeat things, but we need to have also new discoveries. And today we want, isn't a sample, to recognize a few things which were published only last year. There were many things published, and from that I have to choose only a few things, and for each one we'll have only like 3-4 minutes. So, I would like to mention a few things. So the first one, as you can see in the program, is the book which was edited by Skip Bell, Professor Bell, Servants and Friends, A Biblical Theology of Leadership. We already spoke about this book here, therefore I will not go into the details. But this is a very unique book because it's blending biblical insights with leadership. Usually leadership is done from the business perspective. You need to be a good leader. But this book is very unique. And also people who are outside of the church, leaders, in the leadership theology are saying that Skip Bell and his colleagues have provided an accessible and substantive volume in the thinly populated intersection of biblical theology and leadership. And they have many things good to say. The authors demonstrate that true spiritual leadership is more than the practice of certain principles, but is also a part of the spiritual pursuit. And if you really want to be a godly leader, this is the book. You can have it from the different perspective, because you all should be leaders, and you are leaders, not managers, but leaders in the Church of God. So I think it's a very, very good, very important, contribution. And as you can see from the content also, Many of our professors contributed with very significant chapters. I will not go through it because we already once talked about that book. All right, the second one I would like to recognize here in our today recognition assembly is a book which was edited by Professor Kenley Hall and Dr. Joseph Kidder. If you can come here and up, this will be very nice, very beautiful. And praise the Lord that Kenley can walk here. the title of the book is You Speak, the Church Listens. It's a very nice statement here. And then you have subtitle, Why Some Seventh-day Adventist Young Adults Stay in the Church, and How to Attract More of Them to Come Back. So you have two questions, and you are two, therefore I will now repeat that question. Maybe Kenley, you will be the first one. Why some Seventh-day Adventist young adults stay in the church? We usually say it negatively, that they are leaving the church. Right. But you put it very positively. Why they stay? Please.
Sure. What the book chronicles is the 180 symposium that was held a number of years ago that Joe and I co-hosted. Mm-hmm. And it has both the reflection of scholars and scholarly articles and pastors. The key always, always to retaining young people in the church is building relationships, okay, mentoring relationships that disciple young adults.
So not only relationship, but mentoring relationship.
Yes.
Can you say something about that mentoring relationship? What does it mean?
It's the relationship of someone coming along, someone else, and saying, I'd just like to walk on this journey with you,
okay,
and share with you as we journey together what I've found helpful in my disciple and experience with
Jesus.
So
it's not only saying, well, welcome to the church, or I'm glad that you are here, but it's really engagement of that person in the life of these young people.
Absolutely. Right?
Very good. Well, let's go to the second question. How to attract more of them, young people, to come back?
Yes. The symposium really covered two aspects. The first one was research-driven, and the second one was what some churches are doing to attract young people. Mm-hmm. And some of the things we heard about how they are attracting them to the church was leaders in the church who are youth are reaching out to other youth to bring them to the church. That was one of the key ones. The second one is give them ownership in the church, making them the main leaders of the church. And sometimes the church itself has to be changed in order to accommodate for the new youth to come back to the church.
Mm-hmm. All right. So it's bringing people even to the leadership position.
Absolutely.
Young people.
Yes. Okay. We heard this over and over from many pastors who are very successful in attracting young adults and youth back to the church.
Very good. Yeah. Well, thank you for bringing these important aspects also together in the...
We are very excited about this, and we applied for a grant, and the university and the division have given us some money to continue this research.
Very good.
We hired some of our outstanding seminarians to work with us on this project.
Thank you. Praise the Lord for your scholarship here and contribution. Well, the following book is written by the couple, David and Beverly Sedláček. David, please come here and tell us something about that book, Cleansing the Sanctuary of the Heart. I think it's really interesting, you know. You put sanctuary, heart, and then the subtitle, Tools for Emotional Healings. Mm-hmm. So it's about Bible, about healing, psychology. So what are these tools for emotional healing? Please.
Well, one of the things that we are convinced of is that Satan has worked really hard to try and destroy the people of God, mm-hmm, particularly those who are Seventh-day Adventists, who are preparing people for the second coming of Jesus. And so this is a way of providing people with tools to help them on a journey of healing, mm-hmm, from the damage that Satan has tried to inflict on us.
So it's especially for leaders, for pastors, And what to do if something was wrong?
Well, it's for everybody, but particularly, pastors who have this particular leadership role, we believe have been attacked even more hard.
Okay.
And so we believe that through working on connecting with God in those broken places, working on healing for myself, and then moving into mm-hmm. forgiveness of others, forgiveness of those who have hurt us,
yes.
is a powerful journey.
And I like it that you not only speak about people who are already very broken. We were all broken, born broken.
That's right.
And then this healing is like also preventive, that we can come to Christ and be changed, transformed, and be led by Him.
Right? Absolutely. And we believe that the sanctuary gives us a beautiful paradigm for that, because God tells us in His Word that we are the sanctuary today, and that God's presence in us, when we can appreciate it and really experience it, is a powerful healing force.
All right. So this is like a book about biblical spirituality, when God's presence should
That's
be celebrated
right.
in our life.
That's exactly
in
right.
In fullness.
Exactly.
Very good.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you for
You're
this
welcome.
Beautiful contribution.
You're welcome.
The following one is not from the faculty, but a book from you, students, from the pastors. And the book is from Henry Claude Antoine Adelson. Henry, you are here, and I am glad. And before we will go to that book, I know that your family experienced very dramatic things in the last few weeks. Could you tell us something about that?
Thank you, Dean. And I want to tell you that when I write something, I always leave it. I remember that in 2009, I wrote a song. And the day for my choir to sing the song, my little brother was kidnapped. So before presenting the thing before God, I leave it. And last week, as you know, my cousin has been kidnapped in Haiti. But my mighty God, my lovely God, first, the kidnappers, thanks to your prayers, force the kidnappers during the Sabbath, the Holy Sabbath, at 11 p.m. to set the boy free. And my uncle, when someone called him to say, Mr. Lamo, what you gonna do? He said, I just count on the prayer from student at Andrews, from Henry. And definitely God answered our prayer, and my cousin is free. I give praise to God, and I invite you to show respect for the Holy Sabbath of God.
Okay. Well, we are very pleased with that, and also this is a good experience for us as a seminary family. We were praying for it on Thursday, and I was announcing it, and on Sabbath,
yes,
the boy was free.
Oh,
so
yes.
I wish that always it goes in this beautiful way.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Like that. Well, you wrote a book, Bonjour Pèlerin, Bonjour Vainqueur, Transformons la Vallée de Baca en Baraka, au nom de Jésus. Why you
oh.
speak about this pilgrimage oh. and winners here?
All right. As a student, as a Bible student, I always try to make the connection between four things: reading, understanding, living, and sharing. When you read it, you understand it, you live it, and then you need to share it. And my goal here at Andrews is to take your library, Dean, to take James White library and to put it onto a four wheels so that I can go everywhere with it. And Bonjour, pèlerin. That means hello, pilgrims. Bonjour, vainqueur. Hello, overcomers. Transforming, let's transform the valley of Baca into Beraka. One of the most beautiful passages I have read and I meditate on it is the Psalm 84. It says, from the verse 5 to verse 7, let me read it. Psalm 84, verse 5 to 7. Blessed are those whose strength is in God, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with blessings. The valley of Baca is the valley of tears, sorrows, sufferings, kidnapping. And Beraka is the valley of blessing. Through this book, I show that I find Bible verse to show that we all can change our tears into joyful songs.
Amen.
And this is the goal of the book, to encourage you. This book says, hey, Henry, you pilgrim, that's true. You're going through sufferings. You're going through burdens. But you can change these burdens into joyful songs.
All right,
that's the goal of the book.
Thank you, Henry Claude, for your contribution. And I would like to invite all of you to write also books while you are already here.
You give me one more minute, I would like to say it's not just a book. It's the beginning of a ministry. After leaving Andrews, my family, my precious wife, and my kids, we are planning to get back to Haiti because we are committed to God to get involved in the business of changing the world. The first part of the world we need to change is our country. We're going to get back to Haiti, and we got a project to build some centers of influence for the gospel. So the first one is going to be in the north part of the country. We're going to build a center of rehabilitation for broken people. Our ministry is called Ministry to the Afflicted People in Haiti. So I would like to ask us to help us to, when you buy a book, a part of the money is going to go to build a center for rehabilitation for afflicted people. And I expect, I hope that before living in Jews, someday, one day, I will send a letter to my dean to say, dean, I would like to invite you to go to Haiti in order to celebrate this center of rehabilitation.
All right, very good. Thank you, and thank you for your enthusiasm and zeal for the God's cause. Yes. Now, the following book is Questions and Answers about Women's Ordination. I am glad that one of our professors was editor of that book, Professor Martin Hanna, and Cindy Touch from the General Conference. So, Martin, could you tell us why this book is so hot potato today?
Well, the Lord has made it so that the path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more onto the perfect day. And so our church is growing in our understanding of ministry.
Very good.
And one of the things we're discovering is that we need men and women to cooperate in the work of the gospel ministry. That's part of finishing the work. All and right. I'm just excited to be associated with Cindy Tush in producing this book.
Yes, so how many questions did you answer in this book? Questions and answers about...
I need to double check, but it's 150-something different questions.
Yes, yes.
So we think we covered all the questions.
All the questions. It's exhaustive. So if you have any question, come to Martin and Hannah, and he will answer all these questions about that hard topic. Well, thank you very much. And I know the discussion will continue, but it's a very helpful tool for this discussion. Yes.
Fortunately, we had the help of a number of researchers in finding the answers to the questions. So we simply, you know, presented the answers in a user-friendly way for lay people. This is a book that anyone in your church can read. It's not too dense, it's lightweight, but it's backed up with good solid scholarship, and we want to credit those scholars who helped us in providing the answers.
Very good, and I hope that this is a final answer, right, to all the discussion about the topic. Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Dr. Hanna, for this. Well, the next book is the thick one, and it's The Concept of Divine Love in the Context of the World, God's World Relationship. And I am very glad that our new scholar, Dr. John Peckham, is publishing practically his dissertation, right?
Yes.
And I know that there are other books you are following, but could you summarize this 700 pages here into three sentences?
Well, maybe one sentence. God is love.
Okay, very good.
But basically, the book lays out a biblical model of God's love as volitional, evaluative, emotional, foreconditional, and ideally reciprocal. There's much more I could say, but I won't try to
yes,
say it now.
Yes, very good. Well, if I would ask you, what is the, you know, everybody speaks about the love of God and how it is important. And for us, of course, as Adventists, it's the main theme in the great controversy. Ellen G. White even put the first sentence in five books of great controversy. Mm-hmm. The first sentence, God is love. The last sentence, God is love. And you, in scholarly way, brought now this Adventist contribution together. So let me ask you that question. What would be our Adventist contribution in the discussion about the love of God?
Yes, that's actually the reason I chose the topic, is because of its centrality to the great controversy worldview. I discovered when I looked at other models of love that divine love has been basically modeled after presuppositions about what God is like. And there are many different models of what God is like. And depending on what you say God is like, that will determine what you say about God's love. I asked, instead of assuming that I already know what God is like, what does the Bible tell us about what God's love is like, and what does that then tell us about what God is like? And that's...
You have a good group of students here who are the fans of you. That's
yes,
good.
They are very kind. And so basically at the center of our view of a God who gives us freedom to love and respond to his love and the ultimate outcome of a universe of unending love, excellent. There's a lot of things I could say, but I won't take more time here, but thank you.
Well, thank you very much for your contribution and beautiful scholarly work. Well, the following book is Shame and Honor, Presenting Biblical Themes in Shame and Honor Context. It's edited by Dr. Bruce Bauer, but I know that, because he's not here, Dr. Gordon Doss was the main organizer of the conference from which this book sprang up. So could you tell us something about this Shame and Honor? Why that specific title here?
Most of us tend to think of the problem of sin as having to do with guilt. Mm-hmm. That is the Western Christian paradigm. And so God gives us his innocence as the solution to guilt. And that's true. But a broader understanding of the problem of sin in the Bible shows two other dimensions and solutions. And the one is shame. Adam and Eve felt shamed. They went and hid because they felt naked. And so the solution there is honor. God gives his honor in Christ by grace. And the other one is fear. They felt a dark power of evil around them that they had never felt before.
Okay.
And the solution there is power. So this book is written, chapters are written by biblical scholars and missiologists and others, and the thesis is that all of us need to have a complete picture of sin in all of its dimensions and of salvation, and that we need to structure our witness to specific peoples starting from where they understand what's bad.
Very good, yes. So it is biblical and missiological
yes.
Book. I am glad that our scholars here and also missiologists were together. And so why this concept of shame and honor is important for other cultures?
Well, it's you know, they're very social orientated people. Relationships are huge. And so when somebody makes a blunder, they lose face. And they feel ashamed, just like Adam and Eve did before God.
Yeah.
And so we've got to address that, because guilt, the concept of guilt by itself, that there's a sin recorded in the books of heaven somewhere, it's true, it's biblical, but it doesn't really touch their hearts and let them understand the full salvation that God has given them.
So it is not like West against East thinking, no. Because we have both thinking in the Bible. And we can take from this treasure this approach to different cultures.
It's all biblical. And in fact, if you start looking at our own Western culture, you find shame is there too.
Yes.
Even though it's kind of an undercover a little bit, though. We suffer shame when we do wrong things. And we need God's, the innocence and the honor that God gives us and the power.
Well, thank you for this emphasis, not on shame, but on honor, right? Because this is what we want. Thank you for it. And the last but not least of that recognition of the production of our professors here and also you as students is Dr. Jacques Ducan, who wrote not only one but actually two things. Therefore, please, Dr. Ducan, come here. I have here like three things, because this quarter we are studying in the Sabbath School Proverbs, and you are the author of it, right? And also with that goes your book about Proverbs. Could you summarize this book of Proverbs in a few sentences? Why this interest in Proverbs?
Well, summarize life. That's what Proverbs is about. It's about life. So God in life. That's the way, in all the places where we think that God is not, we find God there, and this is what Proverbs is about, that is finding and being aware of God's presence wherever we are, and how we make choices, and how we face the difficulty of life. So that's Proverbs about.
Very good. Therefore, it's about life. When you were studying Proverbs for that purpose, it was it something what even struck you as a new thought, something which you learned by that process?
Okay. Well, what I found there is a connection between wisdom, what we call wisdom, intelligence, the mind, the thought, and God, spiritual, and also human beings, our relationship with human beings. Very often we dissociate the three connections, and what I have learned in reading again in the book of Proverbs is to find that intelligence, mind, thought has to be connected with the spirit, and the spirit and the mind has to be connected with other human people. And so if we leave this connection, then we are in the midst of problems.
All right. And you wrote a very nice book here, which was published by Tauris. And the title is The Three Sons of Abraham. Well, we usually speak about two sons of Abraham, like Ishmael and Isaac. You now speak about the three sons of Abraham. Why three here?
Well, today we have three sons. And that is, to put it in one word, that is the Jews, the Muslims, and the Christians.
Yes.
And there are the three of them, these three groups, or these three people are witnessing to Abraham. They are descendants of Abraham, spiritually descendants of Abraham. In that sense, they are the three sons of Abraham.
So, subtitle is Interfaith Encounters Between Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Right. Is there a hope that they can really understand each other very well?
Well, there is hope if you put the three of them together.
Okay.
And the what we are living and what we have lived in history is that there, you know, gives us the impression that there is no hope, because every son thinks that he's the only son. And so what I have learned through that journey, which was actually a long journey, it was this book is the result of many, many years. Mm-hmm. It's a collection, as you've seen, of yes. contributions from Jewish, Muslim, and Christian scholars. Mm-hmm. And I mean, people like Hans Küng, people like Nobel Prize Elie Wiesel, people like yes. Evan Greenberg, Jewish and a number of Muslim scholars from the States, actually, and also from Malaysia have contributed. And let's say what really makes this book unique in a way is that they are not just searching to really witness about who they are, but they are actually searching, trying to listen to the voice of the other people. Mm-hmm. And so learning from each other, that's right. really the main concern of this right. book, learning from each other.
Well, thank you very much for your godly scholarship here and your contribution, unique contribution for the discussion. Well, now we are coming to the culmination when we want to present two awards. And the first one is the Special Awards of Excellence, Daniel Augsburger Excellence in Teaching Award. This teaching award is not only really about teaching, it's part of it, but it's much more. It's a broad issue about leadership, interaction. It's about who that person is and how it, interacts also with colleagues and students here. And I am very glad that this year I can say that this Excellence in Teaching Award was awarded by the faculty to Dr. Sten Pettersson. Well, I am sorry that he is not present. Because he's in Turkey with his wife, doing some seminars there. But even though he's not here, we would like to recognize it, and I would like to invite Dr. Peter Svensson to read citation for Sten. And then you will convey that to him when he will come. Dr. Peter Svensson was before Sten the chair of the Christian Ministry Department, so I ask him to read the citation, please.
Dr. Stanley Patterson joined the Christian Ministry Department in the seminary at Andrews University in 2008 and quickly earned the respect of his students and colleagues as an accomplished educator and scholar. In 2010, he was appointed as department chair, where he effectively demonstrates the principles of Christian leadership that he teaches in the classroom. Dr. Patterson's pastoral experience began in the Texas Conference, and he later served in the Rocky Mountain and Georgia Cumberland Conferences until 1994, when he was appointed ministerial director in the Greater New York Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. Just prior to his transition to the seminary, he served for two terms as Vice President for Pastoral Ministry and Evangelism in the Georgia Cumberland Conference. The seminary community recognizes Dr. Patterson as an authority in the discipline of leadership within the Seventh-day Adventist Church. He is also invited to many parts of the world to address denominational leaders on topics related to leadership and to consult with them about issues pertinent to their organizations. Dr. Patterson has a rich research and publication record and has earned the respect of his peers for his careful scholarship and his breadth of understanding of critical issues within ministry. His obvious passion for well-informed and professionally proficient ministers within the Adventist Church is demonstrated by his enthusiastic involvement in the many pastoral in-service training events that he conducts in North America and abroad. In recognition of his significant contributions in the field of graduate education and his service to the Adventist Church, Andrews University honors Dr. Stanley E. Patterson by naming him as the recipient of the Daniel A. Augsburger Excellence in Teaching Award.
Thank you very much. And as a part of our celebration, the culmination is the presentation of the Sigrid H. Horn Excellence in Research Award. And this award is not given only by the seminary, but by the university, Andrews University. And I am glad that also among us is our provost, Dr. Luxton. Please come here that you can also give congratulations to the recipient. And also we have Dr. Kristen Arthur with us. He's the dean of graduate school. And also Dr. Gary Burdick, who is the associate dean for research. So all these dignitaries are with us at the end. So I am glad that I can now announce who is recipient of that prestigious award, of research award for this year, and this is Professor Wagner Kuhn. I would like to invite Dr. Lester Merklin to come and read citation for this recognition.
Dr. Wagner Kuhn came to the seminary in Andrews University 10 years ago as a faculty member of the Institute of World Mission, where he and I worked together. And he's been a full-time faculty member here in the seminary of the Department of World Mission since May of 2011. In these 3.5 to 4 years, he has an excellent research record. Results of this research includes 2 books that he has authored, 2 additional books that he has been the editor of. He's written 6 chapters for peer-reviewed books, had 5 articles accepted in 4 different peer-reviewed journals. His articles and books, of course, have been published in both English and Portuguese. In the last 5 years, he has presented 12 scholarly presentations, papers, and presented 53 workshops and training sessions in 21 countries. He has done extensive training in the Gulf region, training tent maker missionaries in Kuwait, Turkey, Mongolia, Qatar, UAE, Oman, Egypt, Thailand, Mexico, Argentina, and Kyrgyzstan. It is because of his outstanding research record that Dr. Wagner Kuhn has been selected to receive the 2015 Sigrid H. Horn Excellence in Research Award. Dr. Kuhn, your colleagues in the Seventh-day Adventist Theological Seminary applaud your research accomplishments and are grateful for your contributions to mission and ministry research.
Well, we have heard all these exotic, titles of countries many would like to visit, and you are training people how to do the very nice, biblically oriented mission. So thank you for it, and we congratulate you for this award. Yes. Well, we would like to end with prayer to praise the Lord for all what was done. Dr. Teresa Reif, please come and pray with us. Let's stand for prayer.
Let's turn our hearts toward God in benediction. Lord God, we want to express to you our gratefulness for the gift of knowledge that you've given to us. And we pray that it will not only be knowledge in our hearts, but through your Spirit, that it will become wisdom that plays out in our lives. And Lord, as the great creator of the universe, we want to thank you for being a big God who gives us hope because the greatness of who you are. And third, Lord, we want to thank you that because you're a big God, there's always new things to learn and always new things to explore. Thank you for the opportunity to be here to learn and explore. And Lord, always help us to not be arrogant, but to be humble as we grow in our understanding of you. Thank you, Lord. Amen.